We welcome, as promised, Linda Bolivar from the Multicultural Leadership Program. She is the Executive Director. Hello, Linda. It's good to have you in studio.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
It is always a pleasure to talk about what you folks do, and we want to remind people what the MCLP actually is, because sometimes people say, I know what that is, and I know that we bring in people that are, you know, maybe not native to this particular area or country, but it's more than that. What is McLean County Multicultural Leadership Program?
Yes, the Multicultural Leadership Program is a local leadership development program. We're actually in our ninth class right now, and what we do is bring together people who live or work in McLean County who want to get better at their leadership skills. So the multicultural part of that is we try to recruit as diversely as we can to bring together people who are very different, and then we help our participants understand people who might have different perspectives from them.
And that, I think, is the most important part of all this, at least at first blush, because when you're talking about leadership, you're not talking about necessarily leading people in whatever that may be that are just like you. It takes all kinds to make a world, as they say. Usually that's a negative connotation, but in this case, I think it's a positive.
I think so, too. And I think many of us, I know when I started in leadership back in my late teens, early 20s, the temptation might have been to hire people who were like me because we thought the same, we could get along. But there's plenty of research that shows the more diverse your team is in terms of thinking styles and strategies, the better solutions that you will come up with. Because if everybody thinks like me, we're really not going to come up with a lot of new ideas. So we are helping people who want to develop their leadership skills really gain some core skills, and part of that is understanding diverse perspectives.
And this is more than just here's a book you can read about leadership. I mean, those are a dime a dozen, and you can usually get them in the bargain rack. This is a pretty intense program, isn't it?
Yes, it is an intense program. We start in July and run through March. We have two learning events each month, a Saturday that runs about 9 hours, and then our Thursday once a month is 4:30 to 9 p.m. Those sessions are intense. They are led by people in town that have their own consulting businesses, as well as some trainers from State Farm and Country. In addition to that, people have homework. We assign them to community mentors, and they do community projects.
I love it. And you mentioned, you've already talked about the program and how we go about this a little bit, but I mean, you're making them ask themselves some pretty serious questions.
Yes, we have three key questions we ask the participants to challenge themselves with. The first one is, who am I? And we might think we know that, but a lot of us just wake up and do our thing every day and go to bed and don't think about it. So who am I? What are my strengths and passions? And what am I going to do about it?
Very interesting. I love this. And I've only gotten the broad brush of what the MCLP does, but now I realize just how in-depth you get to it. And then you have some core components to do that. Okay, you have ways to actually answer those questions.
Exactly. So our curriculum is built around five key components. Number one is to be a servant leader. And a servant leader, it's a term coined by Robert Greenleaf, and the idea is a leader who's serving for the greater good, that you're going to leave people better off than you found them, and that it's more about serving than it is about being the boss. The next one is to be self-aware and grow as a leader. If we don't understand ourselves and our strengths and our weaknesses and the impact we have on people, it's very hard to grow into the best leader we can. The third one is to develop authentic relationships. So it's about really breaking down those walls and accepting the things that we don't know and developing authentic relationships. The fourth one is to foster diversity inclusion. That used to be called diversity and inclusion, but really diversity is about having different people, and inclusion is making them all a part of it. So one way that people have talked about that is diversity is inviting different people to the dance. Inclusion is actually dancing with them. They're not just all sitting against the wall. Then our fifth component is to make a positive impact. So there are all sorts of leaders in this world. Hitler was a leader, not the kind of leadership we're looking for. We're looking for leaders to make a positive impact. So as part of that, we pick five community projects each year where people can test out the leadership skills that they're working on and make a difference in local nonprofits. So every year we put out a request for proposals, and then we sort through those and pick five.
All right. I'm curious. What's up there? I see a list that's sitting in front of me, but I love some of the things that you have chosen. Tell me a little bit about what some of these projects are.
All right, and I wish I could take full credit for choosing them, but we have a very active community involvement team that put a lot of work into this. So the five projects that have been selected, the first one is the Bloomington Public Library. There are a lot of people who don't use the library and don't even know what all's there. It's not the library of the 1970s when I was a kid that was mostly books. They have so many different resources. So the idea with this plan or project will be to help people understand all the resources that are available at the library, to build relationships with people who are underserved with the library right now, and to increase the number of people who get library cards and start using the library.
Fascinating. I like it. Hey, it's education, too.
It is.
You're helping to educate the community.
Exactly.
And I'm guilty. What's at the library? Well, you go to the file card index, and then you look through that and find your book.
Yes.
Not so much anymore,
yes.
Right?
And it's interesting because I have a son who graduated from college, is working, came home from work one day, and was headed to the library. And I was shocked because he reads books online. He listens to things online. And, yes, there's still something relevant for everybody at the library.
That's great. What else do you have coming up?
All right. The next one, this is interesting to me, Heartland Head Start. So they provide services for early childhood age. One thing that I didn't realize is to get their federal funds, they have to match 20% of that funding with in-kind contributions, and volunteer hours count as part of that. So they really need a good, robust volunteer program, because otherwise they're leaving federal dollars on the table, and we know how important early childhood is. So with this project, the team is going to look at reviving their volunteer program, because they did have one, but there tends to be a lot of turnover in nonprofits. So helping with reviving that volunteer program and putting in a structure so that we'll be strong for the long term. And so they're not going to have any problems matching those federal dollars.
That's awesome. And I don't know how you quantify it, but I'm sure they have a system in place.
Yes, actually, there is an organization that puts out the value of volunteer dollars every year by state. You can look it up. You track your volunteer hours, and you can say what the value is.
Easy peasy.
There you go.
And you're going to get involved with the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation.
Yes, we actually had a great project with them maybe 2013, which was getting the AEDs, the automatic electronic defibrillators, out and about. Their new initiative, which we're going to be involved with, is called Attack Asthma. It's aiming to assist underserved populations in our community, specifically youth, to understand and control their asthma. Asthma that's out of control can lead to death. So it's really important that people understand how to control their asthma, and they can live a long and healthy life.
And there's a lot of education has to go in that as well. I love how it's the educational aspect that seems to be a common thread weaving through this.
That's right.
All right. U of I Extension has a multifaceted approach to all the work that they do, but you're going to get involved with a little bit on the food aspect.
Yes. This is their food forest. People may not be aware, but there is a food forest locally that has been planted where anybody can go and pick fruits and vegetables. So the purpose of this plan is to increase the awareness of what's available, and especially for people who need food and can't afford it. So to increase the awareness of what's available at the food forest, and when is it coming ripe, when do you go get it, to provide the experience of harvesting their own food. So how are people going to get there? Helping them understand how to pick and when to pick, and then providing education for them to grow their own fruits and vegetables. We all know how important it is to eat fruits and vegetables, but we also know it can be a lot cheaper to grab a bag of chips or to go through a fast food and get the burger and fries.
Oh, get out of my head. Get out of my head.
It is right about lunchtime.
Oh, man, I know it. I'm trying to behave. But I love this fifth project because, I mean, they've been around for such a long time, and they're just always thriving. They're still making a difference out there at the Western Avenue Community Center.
That's right. The Western Avenue Community Center will be working with them on a marketing and development plan to help the community be more aware of their services, whether whether those are people who might take advantage of the services, people who might volunteer, or people who might support. So that will actually be a marketing and development plan so they can raise the funds, because again, there are never enough dollars to go around. So trying to help them raise the money that they need to provide those services.
Boy, those are five worthy projects. How will you have the time to do all of this stuff? My goodness.
Well, if you have a second, I can tell you how that rolls out.
Please do.
Okay. Well, what I love about the Multicultural Leadership Program, I went through it in the 2013-14 year. It starts out with learning about yourself, and then we assign you to a buddy, somebody that you have something in common with but wouldn't have gotten to know otherwise. Then we do a bunch of assessments, the Myers-Briggs Inventory, the Strengths Finder, a Leadership 360, and based on those results, we assign you to very diverse teams. So next week, they're going to find out who their teams are, but not what projects they're doing. So their first assignment is do something social, get to know this group. Then in September, they will find out their project and they'll be assigned to this. So in addition to their day jobs, their family, their social life, whatever nonprofit work they might already do, they will start meeting regularly to work on these projects. In December, they'll have a chance to do what we call midterm presentations to share what they've done so far. In March, they will do final project presentations, and they'll wrap up their work then. So it's about 6 months on the community project.
Wow. It must always be fascinating to see the culmination of these projects when all that work is done, and just to see what work they have accomplished toward their goals.
That's exactly right. We were really fortunate last summer. Deb Halpern of the Action Research Center at Illinois Wesleyan did a study where she contacted all of the prior projects from the 7 years before and talked to them about how was your experience working with the project teams? Did it benefit you? Any advice that they have? And so we're folding that into how we're designing this year's projects. But the overall response was people had a great experience. They would do it again. It really connects more people with their nonprofits. It gets work done that they just wouldn't have time to do otherwise.
I love the concepts and everything. This is, and again, we're with Linda Bolivar. She's the executive director of the Multicultural Leadership Program here in Bloomington Normal. You have something that's coming up that we just kind of want to skim the surface of, but the poverty simulation.
And yes.
I've heard of these taking place in the past, but you're going to pull. Is this the first time you've done this?
No, we do it every year.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yes. So one of our forms of diversity we talk about is socioeconomic diversity. So understanding people who are at a different place in the economic scale than you. So our poverty simulation is put on with the University of Illinois Extension Office. We create a virtual village, basically. People are assigned to families and they're given information on their family size, who works, who goes to school, their budget. They have to pay their monthly bills, buy their food. We also need a lot of volunteers to work all the businesses. We have a jail, we have a school, we have all sorts of social service organizations, a pawn shop, we have utilities, a bank, all of those things. So we are still looking for a location for this event. It's okay. Thursday, October 26th, 4:30 to 8 p.m. If anyone knows of a gym-sized space that would have parking for probably 50 or 60 cars near it, and preferably free. If it's not free, we'll look for a sponsor for that event. We also will be advertising, looking for volunteers to help out and participants to go through it. And all it takes about 90 people. Our leadership class has 26, so that's a lot of people we need to recruit for that event. And some of the locations that we've had it at before, the Lawrence Irvin Neighborhood Center, we used to have it. Okay. But the great news is the Boys and Girls Club now has teen programming on that night. So that's a great reason for us to lose that space.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so some of the other places we have had it are not available this year. So if anybody has a tip on that, they could contact me at lindab@bn-mclp.org or call me at 309-556-3651.
So I would imagine, too, that if you Googled or Binged or asked Jeeves about just all you have to do, Multicultural Leadership Program, Bloomington Normal.
That's correct.
You'll find it.
You brought me a little flashback with Ask Jeeves. That's a few days ago.
Well, you know, Google gets all the pub. You know,
That's
we
got
to share the love a little bit
That's
with some
right.
search engines. Linda, this is great. We could go on. I really appreciate the trip you made out here to the Greenwood Avenue International Headquarters of Radio Bloomington. And, boy, best of luck. I love this. This is educational, not only for the people that go through the program, but for the people that they are going to be impacting. So
thanks a lot
for the time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
It is WJBC and WJBC.com on this Friday, the 18th day of August of 2017.